Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. For this week's podcast, I made the short trip to Newton Cunningham, where I caught up with Anthony Kiernan, Managing Director of the Kiernan Retail Group. The store in Newton will be open 30 years later this month, but as Anthony told me, the Kiernan name has been in operation a lot longer.
I'm actually third generation. My grandfather started it in Newton in the 1920s. And then my father, he later became a retailer, which wasn't his intention either. I think I told you off air that as a young fella, he went to become a journalist and he was with the Armagh Chronicle. When his father died, suddenly, my grandfather, I never knew him. He was only 53 when he died. So my dad came back to sort of help sort things out and arrangements and one thing and another. And as is the way with these things, got stuck and got married and I had kids and became a retailer in Newton in the 1950s.
Okay, and that store was located in the village?
Okay. That was in the village, yeah. And it's actually where my mum and dad live now. They demolished the building and built a house there.
The decision to relocate here and to move here, I'm sure at that time it was a big decision.
It was, because that was in the mid-80s to late 80s. We were talking about it. At that stage, I was at Jordanstown at the University of Ulster, and I was doing a business studies degree, and my brother was involved in the business at that stage, and it became apparent that once the village was bypassed, that business was going to basically just trickle. So my dad had the foresight to buy a site on the main road, on the new road, it was actually the Belfast Galway Road, but Derry Letterkenny Road as we know it. And he bought a site down there and had tremendous difficulty persuading any of the banks that it was a good idea to build a food market and forecourt there. Because it was new and the road was going to be much faster, and the thing was, are people going to stop, or are they just going to, once they're on the road and they're on the road to Letterkenny or Sligo or wherever they were going, are they going to stop? And as part of my one of the projects I had to do for my degree, I did a business case study on why this would work, that's how I got involved. And as is the way, as I said previously, I've been here ever since.
Right. It wasn't on the grand scheme of things, Anthony, when you were a young boy and a young man growing up. Obviously, you'd made a big name for yourself as a footballer, and that took you away out of Ireland and away from home at a young age.
Yeah, as a kid, growing up, all I wanted to do was be a footballer. Played football, watched football, slept football, ate football, and I did. I managed to become a professional footballer and went over to England when I was, I wasn't quite 16 when I think back in it now. I was 15 when I went away, and I was over there for the guts of 4 years. It was great. Did I enjoy all of it? Not at all. The last year was miserable because I was suffering from knee injuries, and as soon as I got going again, something else would happen, and I was finished basically when I was 20, and that was the end of the world as far as I was concerned. But things go on, and I managed to pick myself up and move on again. But that was my life. Football was my life.
How difficult was that decision, Andy, to come back, and how difficult was it on yourself that it had worked out that way, that injury deprived you of a good career?
It was devastating. Listen, I was a kid. I hadn't the wisdom to know that life continues, and it was. I'll be honest, for at least a year, I sulked and moaned and felt sorry for myself and what could have been, and that sort of nonsense. But knew then I'm going to have to do something here. I mean, I hadn't exclusively. What happened was, when I went to England first, my mother and father insisted that I go to college at least one day a week. And they had that scheme over there at the time at Wolves where we could do that. And I went to do O-levels. but I had absolutely no interest. And I went to the I went to the classes, but had no intention of ever sitting exams. But as it happened, it was enough to get me into university in Belfast, luckily enough, and it gave me time and allowed me to think my way into doing something else, and got me over that. Listen, it was a massive disappointment. I wanted to do things and they didn't happen. But in retrospect, I guess it made me stronger to a degree. Yeah.
Okay. And did you channel that energy and that desire that you had obviously into the business?
Possibly. Yeah. I was full of energy. It was early 20s when the business started here in August 1990. Myself and my brother. It was a family business. My mum and dad were involved at that time as well. My mum was the postmistress. My dad, unfortunately, about 6 months into the whole thing, had a brain hemorrhage. He was out playing golf in Port Salon, and on the 10th tee, I think it was, he had a brain hemorrhage. And that kind of, luckily enough, he's still about, so he recovered from it, but his working days were over at that stage. And so myself and my brother took it on, and we worked ferocious hours because it was a new business. It was a greenfield site. We knew we had to do what we had to do in order to get it off the ground. So yeah, we worked ferociously hard. Yeah.
Okay. The store here has expanded and is pretty unrecognizable, I'm sure, from when it opened 30 years ago. The policy with Kiernan seems to be keep building, and once there's a proper policy and a business strategy that works, keep rolling it out elsewhere as well.
Yeah, that's the way I'd always planned it. It's unrecognisable to what it was when we opened in 1990. It's much bigger. It's had three major revamps in that time. Certain areas of the business have become much stronger. Notably, the diner has changed remarkably. It was a 35-seater when we opened up first. Having no idea about that business at all, we just decided that it would be a good idea to have somewhere to have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. And it has evolved, and we've evolved with it, because I'd be the first to admit, we knew absolutely nothing about it. And we just made mistakes, learned from the mistakes, moved on, and made more mistakes, and learned from them again, and moved on. And employed a lot of local young girls, and luckily they were very good, and they stayed with us, and we got through it, and we became stronger, and now it's a kind of an institution, the diner. It's well known.
Yeah. Just in terms of employing people, I know employing people with disability is another one of your policies and something that you hold dear to your heart in terms of what way that should be done across your retail outlets.
Yeah, it's something I've always been very, very keen on. It really happened with a guy that lived here who I knew very well from my football days. Funnily enough, he was a mad football man, and he used to organise us as kids to play matches, and he used to have penalty competitions on a Friday night, and there used to be a trophy for this. You thought you were the bee's knees if you won this penalty shootout. And I knew he'd hit hard times, and I knew he was kind of living on his own, and I thought, this guy has a good personality. Okay, he has a bit of a disability, but he'll be able to do the pumps for me. And the pumps were the forecourt. At that stage, it was all service. And started with him, and I asked Raymond to come down. He did come down, and he was great. He was fantastic. Everybody liked him. He was a bit of a character, and the disability did not get in the road one bit. And I thought, if it worked for Raymond, it can work for others. So we've always had a policy: if the person can do the job, no matter what disability they've got, they will be employed.
Yeah, and you've been rewarded for that as well. And I'm sure that has given you a great sense of pride and satisfaction.
It has. It's given all of us, I think. It's very much, in my business, it's a team effort. And all of us have taken pride in that. And it's great. It lifts morale, I think, when you see something like that happening. And you see somebody kind of flourish. It's great for everybody, and it's great for the business. Yeah.
The Kiernan name is around the county and different parts now. When was the decision taken to sort of maybe go outside of Newton and maybe start rolling out the Kiernan brand and the store
elsewhere?
Well, it kind of, it was always my intention to have more than one. Now, I thought it took longer than what it should have, and but then I guess I was young and I was impatient. As it happened, my brother decided to leave the business. My mom and dad had left the business, and I was on my own. And it took a couple of years to sort of get myself organized and to learn enough about it. And I got my second store in 2008 in Remelton. And you plan and you organize and you think about things as much as you can, but very often, sometimes you just got to jump in and manage it. And that's what happened. I jumped in and managed it, and it was difficult. You learn, you make mistakes, you learn again, and you improve. And that's been my experience in business, very much that, I guess that's my character. I like to try things. I like to go in, and I'll figure it out eventually. Okay.
Just in terms of bringing the story forward, then from Melton, in terms of where your other stores are located now.
Yeah, we've quite a few in Letterkenny. We have the Bistro in the retail park. That's another big part of my business. Is the whole food outlets. That we have a coffee house in Newton, we have a diner in Newton, we have the Bistro in the retail park in Letterkenny, but we've also got very strong delis in all our stores but one. So we're in Letterkenny, we're in Remelton, we're in Ballyshannon, we're in Drumkeen, we're in Tullygay, so we're quite all over the place, basically. And a lot of those stores came about by people coming to me and the opportunity arising. And as I've said to people before, if the opportunity arises again, if it makes sense, I'll go for it.
Going back to the time when you found yourself on your own with everybody else in the family out of the business, was that a testing time for you?
Yes, but at that stage, looking back on it, I was almost too busy to be worried about anything. Life took over and didn't leave me much time to think about is this scary or is this that. You just had to do what you had to do, and listen, you learned a lot from it. I guess at that stage I learned two very important things. I learned that the most important part of my business were the people that I employed, and the second thing that I learned was that if I was to get bigger, I needed my outside accountant, who's also my best friend, my auditor, he was on to me for a number of years about, I need an in-house accountant. I says, I don't need an in-house accountant. I can manage that myself. I know a wee bit about accounts. I actually spent 9 months in an accountancy office in Derry after my degree. I was going to go down that road, but didn't. And I said, sure, it's just going to tell us what I already know. We don't need to put it on paper. And he eventually persuaded me that we needed an in-house accountant, and that gave me access to figures and information. And then that allows you to grow because you've got a foundation, you've got a base. You're not guessing anymore. So going from having none, I have now got 4 in-house accountants and need them all.
Was that a game changer when you realised that you had to change tact and maybe take in an in-house accountant?
Well, it makes you more organised. It gives you more detail. Sometimes you gotta make decisions that you're not that comfortable with. But if you've got a firm base foundation, and you don't go mad, in other words, you don't go in somewhere or take a risk somewhere that could wipe you out. Although it very nearly happened. I was very close at one stage during the recession period. That allows you to survive, I suppose. Yeah.
In terms of staff, and I know staff is something that you place huge emphasis on. It doesn't happen, the success of Kieran's, without a good team.
The team's everything. The staff are everything. I keep saying that. I remember right at the very start, and I was just thinking about this the other day, that when we started the diner, I used to employ different people and young girls from around the village, from up the street and one thing another. And there was a number of them, and I always remember to this day, without them, there would be no diner, because we were sometimes, because of the nature of the business and because of that transitory traffic, you could be very quiet at 10 o'clock in the morning and you could be full at 10:30 in the morning. So that required, and I used to have wee girls coming in and doing shifts, and they'd be up at the home wrecked, and I'd be up in the car looking for them to come back down again. And that happened for about 2 years until I got a handle on it. And never once did any of them refuse to come in. And that's the power of people and their personalities and their characters. And I have now built over a number of years a great team who really don't need me anymore. And that's the truth. And they can run it, and it's great.
Right. In terms of numbers, what does Kiernan Retail Group employ at the minute, approximately?
Well, approximately 230 people. That's all over, and that's in the different elements of our business. So it's quite a lot. About 40% of them are part-time, 60% are full-time.
Okay. I know community and charity are two other aspects of Kiernan's, and you like to sort of give back to the people who help yourself in the community?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's something I should do. We do as much as we can. We try and support as many charities as we can and as many sports teams as we can. I'm from a sports background, so I see the benefit that sport brings to people for all sorts of reasons, not just ability, but it's the whole social thing. And I mean, I still meet guys that I played football with when I was 16, and we can still talk about matches. It's ridiculous, I know, but we still do talk about matches and about if this had happened and if that had happened. But it's great crack, and it's something that brings people together. So yeah, I would be a big supporter of that, and the company would be a big supporter of that, and should be.
Okay. We're in your office, Anthony, in the store in Newton, and you have three photographs here that my eye is drawn to. You might talk us through, maybe from the bottom up, maybe.
This is a wee office that I had, and I decided it would just be somewhere I'd go and chill out. It's my wee man cave. It's not really used that much because we have offices up the street in Newton. And so I decided that growing up in the 70s, when I got into sports, my three sporting heroes were Cruyff, Johan Cruyff, and that's a photograph of him playing for Ajax. Black and white photograph. He was the footballer that I aspired to be, and he was my hero in that department. The guy in the middle is Jean-Pierre Rive. He was a flanker for France, and I was looking for that iconic photo. There's an iconic photograph of him with blood dripping from his head and a white bandage around the blonde hair. I couldn't get a good one of those, so that's him at the start of a match. And then at the bottom is my favorite golfer of all time, was Seve Ballesteros. And they're just guys that, when I look at them, they make me smile, and they bring me back to an era that I was getting interested in sports, and I learned a lot from sport. You learn in sport, I guess, the thing that you learn best is how to roll with the punches, because you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. You just hope you have a few more good days than bad days.
And just in relation to the golf, Anthony, you're back playing fairly well. A wee birdie tells me, going good at the minute.
I play a bit of recreational golf, that's all. And it's a bonus this year because I was due to have my knee replaced in Santry, and I didn't get it done because of the COVID-19. And now I decided, like, oh, sure, I'll try and play a wee bit of golf. Sure, I mean, what the blazes, I'm going to get it replaced anyway. If it goes, it goes. So I'm enjoying it. I'm getting out a couple of times a week, and the crack's good, and I'm going to put off my knee operation for another wee while.
Plenty planned for your 30-year celebration, Anthony?
Well, obviously it's a little bit curtailed because of the pandemic that we're all going through at the moment, but we are doing a number of things. We have lots of good offers in the shop over the next month, all the shops. Even though our anniversary is really Newton, it's been open 30 years. We're doing it across the board. One of the things that we're doing is we're giving away €1,000 voucher for a staycation in Ireland. We're doing that in conjunction with our coffee supplier, Seattle's Best. We're also giving away a year's free fuel with our partners, Top Oil. And the big one that we're doing internally, I guess, with all our delis is we're doing the breakfast roll for €2. The breakfast roll is probably our best seller of anything in our shops and eateries. And it's one of the things that we're going to do now over the next few weeks is put it out for €2. So we're doing loads of other little things which are on our social media, particularly on Facebook. And a bit of a shout out to our guy that looks after all of that for us, Cathal Kern. He's a local guy. He's been with me for years and years, and he came in as a young fella to do the tills and to stock the shelves, and now looks after all our social media, and he's doing an absolutely fantastic job.
Social media has played and will continue to play a big part in your game at the moment, Nathie, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and it's down to other. Listen, I'm not social media. I'm not a techie guy. I missed that at my age. It's the generation that came after me, I think. But it's fantastic, and it's the way to go now. And I think a good presence, a very good presence on the different social media outlets is absolutely important for any business now, because it's the way of getting your message across quickly and to a wide range of people.
Okay. Finally, in terms of the future for Anthony Kiernan and the Kiernan's Retail Group, how do you see that?
Keep the business as strong as possible. Keep the foundations right. Keep the basics right. Make sure you know your figures. Make sure you know where you're at with any given time. The recession taught us all that, I think. If anybody that was in the business around the 2008, 2009, it was a scary time. All of a sudden, your assets became much less. The whole thing got a bit crazy for a while, and cash flow was an enormous thing. So find out where you are at any given time. Is there any reason why I can't expand further? No, there's not. We've got a fairly good systems in place now. We kind of know what we're doing in most areas. So if the right opportunity comes along, will I take it? Absolutely.
Anthony Kiernan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us in Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. Hope you enjoyed it. My thanks to Anthony Kiernan, my guest today, and wish him all the best with his 30th celebrations. And if you like your jam, make sure you tune in next week.